T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
I'll give you my thoughts on what the Patriots did coming up in a moment. I will also tell you one quarterback who's already under a tremendous amount of pressure next season with what his team did last night. And no, it's not Kirk Cousins. We'll eliminate him. Kirk Cousins, though, is under a lot of pressure. But that's some pressure I would like to have. Like, I know I got $100 million guaranteed. Sure, my team drafted a quarterback with the 8th overall pick, so I probably won't see all 4 years of that contract. It'll probably only be 2 years, but I know I'm going to, bare minimum, get $100 million out of the $160 million. Regardless of what happens. But when I take a look at that kind of scenario, I'll just ask you this question before I give you some winners from last night. Did the Falcons owe it to Kirk Cousins to really, like, give him a heads up? Like, they just called him when they were making the pick, and he felt like he was blindsided by it. Now, with who his agent is, and Kirk Cousins not being a youngster in this league and being a veteran, if let's just say they got wind a day or two before that this team was going to draft Michael Penix Jr., I don't think Kirk Cousins plays dirty, but would his agent have played a little bit dirty where you start leaking that out, oh, Falcons interested in Michael Penix Jr. to maybe get one of those other teams to try to trade up to, I don't know, maybe like 7 or 6 to try to usurp the Falcons in their quest to go get Michael Penix Jr. so Kirk Cousins can actually see the entirety of that 4-year contract in Atlanta. Like, Samter, do you believe, let me get your reaction on the pick by the Falcons for Michael Penix Jr., but also, do you think that the Falcons had to go, like, out of their way instead of just make, like, a last-second phone call to notify Kirk Cousins that, hey, they were going to end up taking a quarterback last night with the 8th overall pick?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, and how about the initial reaction to Michael Penix Jr. going at 8?
I mean, I get why Kurt feels that way, but you're a big boy. You're getting paid big boy money. It's a big boy league. You know, it's unfortunate. I feel for him. You know, maybe he wishes he went to the Raiders or somebody else instead, but he's getting paid big time money. I don't feel a lot of sympathy for him. At the end of the day, this is what the NFL is. It's a surprise pick. Kirk will just have to do kind of like what Terry Fontenot said, just be so good that we can't play Penix. And if that's the case, then they're going to win games, they're going to go to the playoffs, and mm-hmm. they're going to keep him around longer than they probably want to.
So I've had no read on you with this situation. Because last night, I thought at first like you were on board with it, and then as the night did go on, it sounded like you were basically saying, all right, this is stupid, and now it seems like you're understanding of what they did. So what is your opinion, I'm asking, on where you're at? Like, you were making that pick at 8. Knowing that this was an option, what would you have done?
I'm definitely not doing what the Falcons did.
Okay, so you're out on what they did.
I'm not out on what they did. I just wouldn't have done it. However, as we heard from Arthur Blank, I understand this idea. Like, having a quarterback for a year or two does a team no good.
Sure.
In order to build...
Unless you win a Super Bowl, which I don't think the Falcons are.
Sure, but even like look at the Rams, right? They won their Super Bowl. Awesome.
Yeah.
But Stafford's going to be gone. They really haven't done much.
Who cares? They won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but they won the Super Bowl. So I guess the question is, do you want that one fleeting moment?
Yes.
Or do you want 10 or 12 years of excellence, right? Do you want like...
But am I getting a Super Bowl? Like you say excellence. If you say excellence 10 or 12 years and I get a Super Bowl, obviously I'd rather have the 10 or 12 years of excellence with a Super Bowl. But if I just have 10 or 12 years where I'm consistently in the mix as, let's say, a division winner, going to a few NFC title games, maybe a Super Bowl appearance, I don't want that. I want to win the Super Bowl. So even if I win a Super Bowl and I make a deal with the devil and then I suck for the next decade, yeah, I'm more than fine with that.
I mean, and maybe a Super Bowl. But when I say like 10, 12 years of excellence, I mean, think about like the Peyton Manning Colts, right? They won a title, sure, mm-hmm. but they were great for like 13 straight years, and then they fell short a lot. The Cowboys winning 12 games every year and then falling short in the playoffs. Would you rather have that, where you're just winning 12 games year after year after year, 10 games, winning divisions?
Well, it's two different scenarios, because you say the Colts won a Super Bowl.
I'm using that as a general idea, Super Bowl or not, just the idea of 10, 12 years of really good, great, even football. Maybe it culminates in the Super Bowl, maybe it doesn't, but at the end of the day, it's just really good winning football for a extended period of time.
Compared to what, 2 years of winning a Super Bowl?
2 years where like you're contending, maybe winning a Super Bowl for like 2 years of like excellent football, which I don't even think that Kirk Cousins is going to give them that anyway.
But what are we doing?
Do you want what the Rams did, like 1 or 2 years of really good football?
Yeah, what the Rams
did. Or 12 years of like excellent football that may or may not end up in a title.
Without a doubt. Like I know that you're now like a Chiefs fan, so you're used to winning. But if you were a Jet fan and I said to you, would you rather have 10 to 12 years where you don't win a Super Bowl, but you're consistently there, you're contending, or you win a Super Bowl and then you miss the playoffs, then you make the playoffs, and now who knows what they're going to look like in 3-4 years? Without a doubt, I'm taking the Super Bowl. If I could get my hands on a Super Bowl trophy, and I don't care what happens after that, I'm not running the chance of, oh, I could be really good. Like, I could be the Bills, right? I could be right there, but then I don't get over the hump. I'm taking the Super Bowl when it's guaranteed and when it's signed, sealed, and delivered to me 10 times out of 10. I don't even think that's like, Stu, let me ask you this. You're a Raiders fan, right? Stu, in his lifetime, his team has been to the Super Bowl once.
Yes.
And then after that, for the most part, you have been an unmitigated disaster.
2 playoff appearances, 0-2 since the Super Bowl.
Is that right?
Yes.
So the year where Carr got hurt.
Yes, and then the year Carr's second to last year where they lost to the Bengals.
Oh, the Bengals, yes. That's right, where he threw the
two pick. Games. I've gone 2 games, and one was with a third-string quarterback.
So let me ask you this. Would you rather, Stu? I think I know the answer.
Yeah, I think you know the answer.
I have a bleeping and grin on my face when I say this. Would you rather have a Super Bowl and then be terrible for a decade? Which the Rams aren't going to be terrible for a decade, but let's just say that's the case. You win a Super Bowl, then you're terrible for a decade, or have a 10 to 12 year run where you have the quarterback, you're right there, 12, 13 wins a year, division title after division title, but it's not guaranteed that you win a Super Bowl. It's like 50-50.
Yeah, give me the Super Bowl. I don't care what happens after that.
Okay. So the Falcons, I don't think, this is why I can't do this conversation with the Falcons, because I don't think the Falcons are winning a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. I think with Kirk Cousins, the most they're doing is getting to an NFC championship game if everything goes right. But I thought they needed to improve the roster a little bit more. And I know the draft's not over yet, but you had the 8th overall pick in a draft where no defensive player did go yet. And you still had who I thought was the second best wide receiver in this draft class in Rome Odunze available. And you could have got one of those guys to go actually try and go for it in an NFC that doesn't have much certainty and doesn't have much clarity. That, to me, is why I'm out on this decision. But I also think what the Falcons are trying to sell you last night isn't reality. The Falcons are talking about sitting Michael Penix for 4 or 5 years. He turns 24 next month, all right, in like a few weeks. Kirk Cousins is playing 2 years, in Atlanta. And then it's going to be Michael Penix Jr. time. So I like Michael Penix Jr. I think Michael Penix Jr. could be a good pro. If Kirk Cousins was not there, then this would have been a good draft pick, but he is there. And that's what makes me question this pick. And I would say two things. Like, Sam Turk threw out a good point. Would Kirk Cousins have still signed in Atlanta if he knew this was going to be the case? I don't know if he is. Like, if I know how this played out last night, let's look at the Raiders, for example. They have Michael Mayer now. They have Brock Bowers. You have, at the wide receiver position, Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers. Stu, who the heck's your running back for this year? Is it Zach Moss?
Is going to be Zamir White.
Oh, Zamir White.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you have question at the running back. But, like, Kirk Cousins going there, they could be a playoff team. They could. I'm not saying they're a lock to be a playoff team because the AFC is such a logjam. But at least you would have been the guy for the duration of that contract. You go to a place like Atlanta, yeah, you get your money, which I think a lot of people will have no sympathy for him, which I understand. But you didn't even get to settle into your house before your house was already put on the market and someone's already trying to buy your house. And that, to me, is the part where I do feel bad for Kirk Cousins. I know it's easy to say, oh, he has $100 million guaranteed. That's fine. Yeah, I would like to be Kirk Cousins. But I could still feel bad for him. And I asked this to Mike Renner, and he said no. I think this would absolutely be a yes. If we had to inject Terry Fontenot with true serum today, and I said to Terry Fontenot, would you still, if I told you at 8 you could have got Michael Penix Jr., would you still have signed Kirk Cousins? If he says yes, I'm just not buying that. I'm not buying that whatsoever. All righty. Here's what I love from the draft last night. You know, the Bears, I know it's an easy take, but out of the first round, just because you have the number one overall pick doesn't always mean you win the draft. But what the Bears did last night in securing Caleb Williams and then just saying, hey, at 9, we got stuff on offense. We got DJ Moore. You know, we got Keenan Allen. They didn't just say, oh, we'll take a defensive player just for the sake of taking a defensive player because none were off the board then. They said, we're going to take the best player available. And at the time, the best player available was Roma Dunze. I love what the Bears did. And I said this to Mike, and I'll say it again. If the Bears can't contend in the NFC with the foundation that they've built, if they can't, in 5 years from now, if we're talking about Caleb Williams as being a bust, if we're saying he stinks, another guy that we hyped up that didn't live up to what the noise was about him, then the Bears are just never going to get it right. You look at what they've done the last few years, and you look as a quarterback, what you're walking into here, this is magnificent. And usually quarterbacks go to die or have their career ruined when you are a member of the Chicago Bears. So I love what the Bears did last night. I will also give credit to two other teams that were able to double dip. The best player in this draft is Marvin Harrison Jr. Cardinals get him. But then later on, the Cardinals need to just keep on taking talented guys because their roster is pretty bare. Like Kyler Murray in the NFC, you could be a good quarterback and win. In the AFC, you got to be great. And I believe Kyler Murray could still be good. So you get him a legit number one weapon in Marvin Harrison Jr., and then you bolster your defense with a defensive-minded head coach in Jonathan Gannon, and you get Darius Robinson out of Missouri, the edge rusher. Love what the Arizona Cardinals did. And then the Minnesota Vikings. I understand J.J. McCarthy's polarizing. I understand people saying, oh, why'd they trade up from 11 to 10? They didn't need to do that, blah, blah, blah. Forget about that. Once you had the four quarterbacks go off the board, and I didn't think Penix was in play for them, but once May stood at 3 and stayed at 3 with the Patriots, you had to get J.J. McCarthy. And they ended up getting him. And now McCarthy walks into a place with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and also Aaron Jones. I think J.J. McCarthy can be good in Minnesota. And then you're able to go get Dallas Turner at 17? Hello. Dallas Turner, I thought was going to be a top 10 pick in this draft. I thought he was going to be the first defensive player off the board. So that's a heck of a value pick for the Minnesota Vikings. And Mike Renner said, I agree with him. You put him in that draft class, Dallas Turner, where you had Trayvon Walker, Aiden Hutchinson, and Kayvon Thibodeau, I wonder how many guys he would have gone in front. Like, I thought Hutchinson should have been the number one overall pick in this draft. I think that Trayvon Walker is not as good as Dallas Turner. Thibodeau, that's a tough one because I was a big fan of Thibodeau coming out of Oregon. So those are three teams I love what they did. The Vikings, the Bears, and the Cardinals. Now, let's get to my team. It's crazy how much now I have warmed up to what the Patriots ended up doing. May the force be with Drake May. But I don't know when he should see the field. And that is dependent on what they do in the next few hours. There are rumors of my BFF in Deebo Samuel, which I will reconcile with Deebo Samuel if he's a member of the Patriots. There are rumors of Brandon Ayuk. That's who I want. That they could get traded for the 34th overall pick. Go get the established guy. But if not, whether it's Mitchell or McConkey or whoever the wide receiver is, if you're keeping the second pick in the second round, you got to take a wide receiver. You got to surround this quarterback with some young talent or some established talent. And if it's young, unestablished talent, like taking a receiver with 34th overall pick, I'm not rushing to play Drake May in year one. I'm waiting until November. But if they get a Deebo, if they get an Ayuk, that could expedite the process of getting Drake May on the field. I'm a little bit more confident in this regime so far of Elliott Wolf and Gerard Mayo, because it's clear Jonathan Kraft didn't make this decision, number one. And number two, they tried to get Calvin Ridley. They failed, but at least they tried. Belichick would have never done that. And that's not anti-Belichick. You guys know me. I love Belichick. And very appreciative of what he did, obviously. I'd be the biggest idiot in the world if I wasn't. And then you take a glance at now trying for Deebo or Ayuk. You got to get one of these guys. And if it's not this year, then you draft at 34 and then you go get a big-time playmaker in the next offseason. And then finally, I think there's a ton of pressure on Trevor Lawrence this year. Year one, disaster. Blame it on Urban Meyer. Year two, took a big step. And then year three was dealing with an injury and regressed. But this offseason, yes, they lost Calvin Ridley, but they were able to add in Gabe Davis. You already have Christian Kirk. You have a solid tight end in Evan Engram, and now you draft Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver, out of LSU. And you have Travis Etienne, who's a do-it-all running back. There's no reason why the Jaguars don't get back to being a double-digit win team this year. Jacksonville's got to get it right, and Trevor Lawrence has to show why he is a franchise-altering type of player. Enormous amount of pressure on Trevor Lawrence this year. Let me take one quick phone call before we get to Brian Finneran on the other side. Let's go to Anthony in Myrtle Beach. He's next up on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Ant, what's happening?
What's happening, Zach?
Doing great. What do you got for me?
You spit a lot out at me, and I kind of lost my train of thought, and I agree with a lot of what you said. I think Chicago definitely are all in. Jerry should take notes. That's how you do it, as all in. I think Atlanta drafting that quarterback, that might be a trade proposal down the line as some sort of, you know, get the wide receiver they need like you spoke of. I honestly think the Giants made a big mistake. They got a great wide receiver there, Malik, but who's throwing him the ball? Danny Jones? Come on. That was a waste. Complete waste.
I don't think it's a waste, and thanks for the phone call, Anthony, and here's why. If you don't love a quarterback, you just don't take a quarterback. You know, if they don't love J.J. McCarthy and that was smoke, you don't take J.J. McCarthy. I think J.J. McCarthy would have been bad with the Giants. If you don't love Michael Penix Jr., then you don't take a quarterback. They didn't love a quarterback outside of Drake May, so they then took who they thought was the next best player available, and that's Malik Nabers. Like, the Giants, they got to build this thing up. They got talent on defense, but they don't have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. And I don't think the Falcons then try to trade Michael Penix Jr. If anything, you try to trade Kirk Cousins, but they're such a big dead cap hit that you can't even start to contemplate that until it gets to about $25 million when that comes your way 2 years from now. Got to play this year, got to play next year. We'll see if Penix ends up getting on the field, but it's tough to get out of that Kirk Cousins contract until you start to get into after year two of Kirk Cousins in the ATL. All righty, we'll take a timeout. Former Falcons wide receiver, now does a talk show in the Atlanta area. Brian Finneran will join us next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your questions at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. We know that the Falcons have become the biggest story of the draft with their controversial draft pick of Michael Penix Jr. When you already just signed Kirk Cousins and he has $100 million guaranteed and a four-year contract, let's welcome in a former Falcons wide receiver and Brian Finneran, who's kind enough to take a few minutes with us today. Brian, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Good, Jack. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. Thanks so much for coming on. Let me get a little peel behind the curtain here. You're watching the draft last night. You see the Falcons make the eighth overall pick. It shocks everyone. And Michael Penix Jr., your first thought was what?
What the hell just happened? Baffled, confused, curious as to what their plan is, and slightly disgusted, to tell you the truth. I was blown away by that decision to do that. I mean, you just set it up perfectly. You go in free agency and get a guy like Kirk Cousins. I don't know what they told Kirk Cousins the plan was going to be, but I can probably guarantee you they didn't say they're going to take guy number eight at your same position. So they had to call Kirk during the time they had to make the pick to inform him that's what they were doing. Apparently Kirk was blown away and stunned by the decision, and I just don't know what this team is doing, especially at the quarterback position and what their plan is the last 6 years, 5 or 6 years.
If you could give Terry Fontenot a do-over, do you think he would not have signed Kirk Cousins if he knew he was going to take Michael Penix Jr. at eight?
I would hope so. I mean, I don't know what general manager makes a move like that and then drafts a guy at number eight that's not going to touch the field for 2 years. I mean, that's the hope, right? And I think he said at one point in that presser afterwards that I stayed up for some godforsaken reason at 12:15 in the morning, he talked about 4 or 5 years, Kirk's still our quarterback. You know, 4 years, that means we're making the playoffs, we're doing good things, and, you know, Penix doesn't have to play. I'm like, holy crack. There's no way that's the real thing they want to do here. So, do-over, yeah. This doesn't happen again if he has a do-over. You know you're going to get Penix at eight. You don't pick up Kirk Cousins. You spend a lot of that free agency money on guys on defensive ends that are free agents, wide receivers that are free agents, and you go load up and try to improve this defense and this football team as a whole.
And that's the thing. Like, I could understand this, and I like Michael Penix Jr. I could understand it if he wasn't ready and he was like 21. Okay, I could get that. He turns 24 in a few weeks. It's like, to me, this dude is NFL ready. I'm almost at a point, Brian, where it's crazy how this changes in one night. I don't even want to see Kirk Cousins play for the Falcons. Dude, I just want to rock and roll for the next decade, see what Michael Penix Jr. could do right now.
I got no problem with Michael Penix Jr. Zero. I think he's a stud. He can to hear Nick Saban and Bill Belichick talk about that guy last night during the different draft channels, glowingly, for sure. But now you got a quarterback, not necessarily competition, but you got a super uncomfortable situation where you got a $100 million guaranteed guy that's going to be there for a minimum of 2 years. Oh, he was probably hoping to be there more, moving his family to Atlanta, where his wife's from. I mean, what is his wife and in-laws thinking about this now? And what's he thinking about after they just did this? And I guarantee you, when they were courting and tampering with Kirk Cousins, allegedly tampering, they sure as hell didn't tell him at eight we're going to take a quarterback. Because I'm not sure he would have came here if that was the case.
Talking to Brian Finneran right now. Yeah, like how much of an issue from the player side in the locker room does that become? And I know Kirk is a professional, but you thought you were getting something, and we see the writing on the wall. I know Fontenot could say 4 or 5 years, and I know some fans will say, oh, I got $100 million guaranteed, so tell him to shut up. But there is a business, there is a personal side to this, but I'm Kirk Cousins. You got to know that 2 years from now, you're going to be gone. Like, I don't think he makes it to year three in Atlanta.
Right. No, the writing's on the wall now, and it's a shame. And you bring Kirk Cousins in here for one reason, and that's to win football games. The guy's done nothing but throwing for 4,500 yards, 30 touchdowns. He had awful defenses up there in Minnesota for the most part, like ranked 26th, 28th, 25th ranked defenses. They had to outscore everybody. Everybody wants to talk about how Kirk can't win the big one. Dude is putting up like 27 points a game and still not winning games because they couldn't stop anybody. So I just don't know. Like, the idea is to win now. Like, now what's the goal? You had a chance at number eight. And I tell you this, Zach, I'm keeping receipts for every one of the guys that went after Michael Penix Jr. It's not his fault. I'm looking at all three of the defensive ends. I'm looking at two of the cornerbacks. I'm looking at Rome Odunze. And maybe even throwing a couple of the tackles that look like freaking monsters when they started showing their highlights up there. I haven't watched the entire draft in years because I just get tired of it after the Falcons go. I watched the entire thing to see who went after Michael Penix and who we could have had instead. Watch their highlights and watch them shine. If a couple of those guys become all pros or rookie of the year, I mean, this could be one of the worst decisions a draft and a GM and an organization has made in a long time.
So I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, Brian Finneran. I'm with you. I would have taken Rome Odunze. Once you sign Kirk, I'm not drafting a quarterback, especially even though I like Michael Penix Jr. when he's about to turn 24. But did Brady kind of mess up us as fans, like all of our thinkings about this? Because now you draft a quarterback, you expect them to be there for 20 years. Like, if Michael Penix Jr. it doesn't get on the field until 2-3 years from now and then still gives you 7 or 8 years, like, you take that, right? Like, 7 or 8 great years.
Yeah, of course you do. Because that means you'd hopefully have 2 or 3 or 4 with probably 2 legit, maybe 3 with Kirk. And maybe another couple postseason runs there. And then this kid takes over for 6 or 7 or 8 years. And he'll be 35 by that time. And hopefully you have some nice success. But I don't know. It's not what Tom Brady did is not sustainable. It's not even a real thing. It's a total joke, really. It was amazing. He was able to pull that crap off, and again, do the things he's done, not only in New England, but to go to Tampa and turn that whole culture around as well was as special as it gets. So that's not the norm. You see what happens when quarterbacks get old. They tear Achilles. That's Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers. It just happens. You're asking your old-ass body to do too much stuff, and it can't do it.
What do you think you get out of Kirk Cousins this year? Because fair or not, you know, you talk about coming back from an Achilles. There's physical, and then there's also a mental recovery that happens once you get back on the field. You know, he plays a bad game or two. It's just natural when you have an NFL-ready quarterback that you just drafted at 8 that fans are going to want to say, who cares about the contract? Let's give Michael Penix Jr. a chance.
Yeah, and you don't forget you're in Atlanta, and we had a situation kind of like this, not only – when Chris Chandler was my quarterback when I first got to Atlanta, and then you bring in Michael Vick, and people in the crowd are wearing Michael Vick jerseys, and Chris Chandler's your starting quarterback, and you start getting a bit of a divide, not only in the stadium, but a little bit in the locker room, and media-wise, and this and that, and, you know, you just hope that kind of stuff doesn't take place again. Even Matt Ryan had a tough time taking over Michael Vick, so it's a dynamic, kind of interesting city where some of this stuff comes into play, even though you don't want it to. You just want to see football players go out there and play. But, yeah, you make a great point, Zach. Something goes bad or has a couple of bad games or bad picks, there's going to be some rumblings going on from the stands and media and everybody else. But with that said, I think Kirk Cousins is a consummate professional. I think he's going to be ready to rock and roll. I think this might drive him even more to have a successful season and make everybody around him better. So that's what I said before this whole thing draft yesterday took place. Kirk Cousins makes Kyle Pitts better, just like Matt Ryan made Kyle Pitts a Pro Bowler his rookie year. He makes Bijan Robinson better. He makes Drake London better. He's going to make Darnell Mooney better. So I think he has a successful season. I think he stays healthy, and the Falcons hopefully do something in the next 7 picks to address the defensive hole that they have, because there's plenty of them.
So everyone talks about this Green Bay Packers model. Now, Jordan Love was 21 when they selected him, and it ended up working, moving on from Rodgers, and it looks like it's working with what Love was able to do. But I talked to Arthur Blank at the Super Bowl, and he told me on the air, he goes, that's the ideal way to do it. You get an interim guy, and then you eventually find the long-term guy. when you hear people say, oh, the Falcons are just basically taking a play out of the Packers playbook, what's your response to that?
Ridiculous. Not even close. Packers were winning double-digit games, going to the postseason. They had some nice pieces. I think they regret doing that anyway with Love. That was when Rodgers started bitching about not having receiving weapons and weapons on offense, and you'll get a quarterback just going to sit on the sidelines. So I don't think that's a real thing. If you're going to do that, why not do it when Matt Ryan, who's the ultimate pro, is sitting on your team, and you got the fourth overall pick and Justin Fields staring you in the face? If you're going to do it then. Don't do it now when you spend $100 million guaranteed and $180 over 4 years with Kirk Cousins and pick. And now you got an eighth overall pick that could have been any one of those guys we were talking about earlier, defensive end, cornerbacks, the receiver that's a stud out of Washington. And now we got number eight picks and sit on the sidelines.
So you look at this offseason, right? They tried to get Belichick, and then I guess they were talked out of it. That's kind of the way that I understand it. You know, you bring in Kirk Cousins, there was some excitement. Now it seems like a cluster with Michael Penix Jr. Where's kind of your confidence moving forward with this football team after the last few months has played out?
It's tough. I was excited about the Bill Belichick coming in here. I know it's kind of against the grain and different, but the dude is probably one of the two or three best head coaches in the history of the NFL. He was going to change the culture of the franchise, which I think needed a new direction. Now, listen, Raheem Morris can do that. New head coach of the Falcons could absolutely pull that off himself. But it's a different vibe with Raheem. But, Bill, you knew it was no nonsense. You were going to have a plan. And I'm not sure what the Falcons' plan is right now. That's the biggest thing. I think for the fan base and the guys trying to figure out what's going on, I don't know what the plan is. I mean, are we trying to win now with Kirk? Because if we are, you should have used that number eight pick and every other pick to help your team win today and tomorrow and in September, and it just doesn't feel that way right now. So frustration, a little bewilderment and baffled and confused more than anything right now.
Do you think Arthur Blank was out of the loop last night? Because we all saw that video of him and Terry Fontenot, but then I give you the comment that he said to me on my show as well. Like, you're the owner of the football team. He's hands-on. Like, he had to know that was going to be the pick. Like, it didn't just happen a few hours before the draft where they told him that's what they were going to do, right?
I don't know. I don't know. Part of me wishes I was in there to watch it like a fly on the wall, and the other part wishes I wasn't because I would be too close to the situation and I wouldn't be able to vent like I do with you and on my show down in Atlanta. So I think he has to be aware of what's happening. Why didn't they call Kirk Cousins before if they knew this was what was going to happen? I call him during the 10-minute window they have to make the pick. So.
Maybe afraid it was going to leak out to try to prevent it from happening on his camp?
Yeah, sure. There's a bunch of reasons. I'm sure you're probably right, but Arthur's involved. Arthur knows what's going on. He's 81 years old, and that's the other kind of puzzling thing. That guy wants to win tomorrow, and now we have to maybe wait a little bit longer.
He's Brian Finneran. You know, I usually talk to you. It's a very, like, upbeat conversation. I think you need some ice cream today on this Friday.
I was doing an interview earlier. I got a what is it? It's a like a welcome party going on tonight for a wedding I'm going out to tomorrow. I got a
rehearsal dinner.
Myself. Yeah, rehearsal dinner deal. I'm worried I'm going to drink my sorrows away at this thing, so I got to be careful and pace myself.
You know what? I have done that before. I think you just you munch here, and maybe you go a little like cobbler with some ice cream, and you just go for the sweets.
I like it. I can pull that off.
You know, you roll something up, and then you just munch. That's what I would say, Brian Finneran.
All right, brother. I'll see if I can make it happen.
You got it. There he is, Brian Finneran joining us. Does a great job, 680 The Fan, former Falcons wide receiver. That was depressing. That was really depressing. He's livid. And he's right because they're trying to get the best of both worlds. They're trying to win now, but they're not ready to win now. And they made a move to secure the future. Man, I'm sitting there. I'm listening to him. I thought he's going to cry during that. Take a time out. This is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll do a news brief next. Update time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ack.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull Apart is here to satisfy your sweet morning cravings. Maybe Brian Finneran could use one of those. Get your day off to a sweet start with a Cinnabon Pull Apart. Only at participating U.S. Wendy's. This weekend's race is at Dover for the Worth 400. Kyle Larson will look to increase his lead over Martin Truex Jr. at the top of the point standing. Larson has one career win and seven top fives at Dover. All righty, news brief time. Let's get to it. So Kyle Pitts was on Bleacher Report Live. We had Mike Renner on, who was on that earlier. He was hosting along with Adam Lefkoe, and you had Micah Parsons and CJ Stroud in studio for the entirety of the first round. And this was Kyle Pitts' instant reaction when the pick was in that the Falcons are going with Michael Penix Jr.
Kyle, I have something for you, my man. The pick is in. And with the eighth pick in the draft, the Atlanta Falcons are taking quarterback Michael Penix out of Washington.
Wow. That's surprising. Wow.
That's a slinger right there, man. You know, I think this is great for him to learn from such a professional like Kurt. It's great to see him, and I can't wait to get him in the building. This is a good one. I like this one.
Yeah, are you shocked? Are you as shocked as I am?
I'm very shocked. I'm not going to lie. Like you said, I did think we were going defense. I'm not going to lie. But that definitely kind of just changed up the dynamic.
I give credit to Kyle Pitts because that's a tough spot. You're reacting live to the pick. You think it's probably a layup. Okay, they go wide receiver or they go defense. And then it's like, holy crap, I got to say the right thing here. And then when Lefkoe goes, you got to be surprised. Like, yeah, of course I'm surprised. It's a good job there by Kyle Pitts. Here's Tom Pelissero, the NFL Network reporter. He was on Good Morning Football on the Falcons picking Michael Penix Jr. at 8.
I've seen the comparisons to Green Bay and taking Jordan Love. This was a relationship that we already knew was probably not going to end well. With Kirk Cousins, this isn't a relationship that had gone south. This is cheating on your wife on the honeymoon. We just got there.
And the other thing, too, why I don't compare the Rodgers and Kirk Cousins thing. Rodgers was already there. He was established, like Tom Pelissero said. And Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. Kirk Cousins just good. He's very good. So there's no attachment from the fan base. And also, Jordan Love is 21 when they drafted him. Now, Michael Penix Jr. turns 24 in a few weeks. Crazy, crazy. And that's the crazy part. I like Michael Penix Jr. I would have loved if Michael Penix Jr. was the pick if they didn't have Kirk Cousins. Nick Saban, I thought he was really good last night on TV. Here he was with Scott Van Pelt on ESPN talking about Jaden Daniels.
The one thing that he does well that people don't maybe give him enough credit for, he has improved dramatically as a passer in the last 2 years and probably since he was at Arizona State. So this guy can throw the deep ball, and if there's anything he probably needs to do a little better, the game's going to speed up on him a little bit. He's going to have to get the ball out a little quicker, maybe at times. But the thing I like about him is he steps up in the pocket. So many of these college quarterbacks drift. They drift into the rush, so they create more problems for themselves than really in helping themselves. So he steps up in the pocket, and if it's open, he's taken off. You're going to have to defend this guy like Lamar Jackson because he is fast. Now, the only thing about that is he's going to have to work on his size and strength a little bit so he has the durability to be able to play that way. But when this guy takes off, he can actually outrun angles on defense like nobody's business. So this guy is Randall Cunningham type of runner, but a really, really good passer. Don't underestimate this guy as a passer. He's accurate. He can throw the long ball. I think he's got a good feel for the passing game. He gets the ball in the right place at the right time.
For those draft shows to have Saban and Belichick on, you can't place a value on that. Just because of their comprehensive knowledge and two of the greatest coaches ever, that was just an awesome, you know, minute plus that you just heard from Nick Saban, who had to go up against Jaden Daniels quite a few times in Alabama going up against LSU. Here is Gerard Mayo. Will Drake May start right away for the New England Patriots?
I don't think many rookies are ready to just jump in and play. And look, at the end of the day, our philosophy is the best players will play. And, you know, coming in as a rookie, hopefully he's a sponge. There are a lot of good players in that locker room. And look, Jacoby, he understands. Like, he's a mentor. He's very smart, has great leadership skills, and hopefully Drake can learn something from him as well. But I would say, like, we're going to compete all spring. We're going to compete during training camp, and the best player will start. We're not sitting here saying that Drake is our starting quarterback. I think he understands that.
I don't think Drake May is starting week one. I got to see what they do in the next 24 hours. They go get Deebo or Ayuk. That could expedite the timeline. They're just taking a wide receiver, 34th overall. I would say that bare minimum the first 8 weeks of the season, you're seeing Drake May on the bench. But that's like the conflicting things you've heard recently. It's Drake May's not NFL ready. And you hear some people say, oh, that's a little bit of an overhyped narrative. He's actually closer than what you think. Let's go to Tom Curran. He reveals on NBC Sports Boston that the Patriots actually inquired about trading for Justin Herbert.
J.J. McCarthy has been talked up by Jim Harbaugh ceaselessly throughout this draft process. The Patriots, I have on good authority, said, you know what? Why don't you just call the Chargers and see if they'll trade straight up. We'll take Justin Herbert. You guys can have J.J. McCarthy. And the Chargers said, no, we're not going to do that. But that does indicate that the Patriots are more than willing to go out and spend the dough. Of course it's interesting.
That's a really good nugget.
No, it's smart. You hear that Minnesota called. You hear that the Patriots called the Chargers because Jim Harbaugh is sitting there being the biggest advocate for J.J. McCarthy, but they were never trading Justin Herbert because of the contract they just gave him. And also, Justin Herbert's a pretty damn good quarterback. Here is Jim Harbaugh speaking about the devil himself on drafting Joe Alt at 5, and Joe Alt revealed to us the other day that he didn't even have a top 30 visit with the Chargers. And Stu texted me right away. He goes, so much for what Joe Alt had to say. But here's Harbaugh on drafting Alt at number 5.
You're going to say, like, you know, what about a weapon? What about an offensive lineman? We look at as weapons. That group, when we talk about attacking, and we talk about attacking on offense, offensive line is the tip of the spear.
And that's how you build your football team. You build your football team with a great offensive line. You got Slater there. Now you have Joe Alt there. I like the kid from BC from a few years ago on the interior part of that offensive line. They're starting to build their football team in the trenches. And yes, you'll eventually go replace and get some skilled position players with Keenan Allen no longer there and Mike Williams no longer there as well. Let's go to Micah Parsons. Last year, remember him being on the air with Adam Lefko and not being happy that the Eagles got Jalen Carter. Now he's upset that the Eagles got Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. Here is Micah Parsons on Bleacher Report Live as the Eagles made their selection.
I'm honestly utterly disgusted on how lucky the Eagles are. It's just like Chris, I do not know how he fell that far with this run of offensive tackles and quarterbacks. That's the only thing that makes sense. I thought he was a top 15, top 12 talent, and he just fell right into their laps.
And he was your favorite player?
He was definitely one of my more favorite players in this draft. Like I said, he rose in every bar. He checked every box. I mean, I think this is a terrific pick, man. I don't know how Howie and them get so lucky. That's how I'm going to put it.
Sounds like every time Micah Parsons speaks, he wants to be on the Philadelphia Eagles. Here is Brian Thomas Jr.'s mother, Sandra Thomas, a very funny encounter with Laura Rutledge on ABC.
Sandra, how far has this family come?
We came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
When you think about the journey that you've been on together, what does tonight mean to you?
It means the world. It's amazing. I'm so grateful to God, so happy for him. We are so proud of him.
That's how far has the family come? Yeah, we drove from Baton Rouge. Let's hear from the father, Brian Thomas Sr. I don't get why they asked him to do this. They asked him to do a little Duval chant. Here's once again Laura Rutledge.
You guys want to put out a Duval? You know, that's what they say in Jacksonville, like a really loud Duval.
What is that?
Oh, we're going to have to work on that. So we're going to commercial break, and we'll practice about Duval. More NFL draft is on the way. It's like Duval.
So weird. I like Laura Rutledge, but that's weird. Hey, we had Brian Thomas on the other day. I'd rather have talked to his parents, if I'm being honest. And finally, here's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. The Vikings wanted Malik Nabers?
At number 5, the Chargers, when they took Joe Alt, they passed on an opportunity to trade out of that spot. The team that wanted to move up to that spot, I'm told, the Minnesota Vikings. And not to take J.J. McCarthy. The Vikings, I'm told, were trying to move up to number 5 to get Malik Nabers. What does that tell you about the Vikings and Justin Jefferson?
Wow. Now, if they don't pay Justin Jefferson, there's dumb, and then there's really dumb. Like, you gotta pay Justin Jefferson. That plan can't be, let's go trade up for Malik Nabers. You pair him with Addison, especially when you have a quarterback to sell on a rookie deal. And then, you eventually trade Justin Jefferson. That wouldn't make any sense. I know they wouldn't have got the quarterback if they drafted Malik Nabers. I don't know about that one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.